The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Did I say Game Plus? I think I did. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We'll get to some NFL draft market. See if we can't uncover another one that we like as much as we liked the 4.5 over-under on quarterback selected last week, where we highly recommended the over at plus 550, now down to plus 125. The Wooden Award. I have a Zach Edey ticket for the Wooden Award, Men's Player of the Year in college basketball. Every time I look up, usually you go to Google, right? You're like, oh, when is this award being handed out? You get a date. You're like, okay, there's the date. I feel like I've gotten three different dates for this. First, I thought it was going to be on Friday. No. Then I thought it was going to be today. No. Now they're saying the ceremony is April 7th. So for those who have Zach Edey tickets, hopefully that gets home. And why I say hopefully is, unlike typical awards, which we're used to in other sports, where it's a regular season award, they vote on it before the postseason, the Wooden Award gets voted on during March Madness, during the first 2 weeks of March Madness. So remember, Purdue got beat by Fairleigh Dickinson in a historic 16-1 upset. Do you think there will be people who would otherwise have voted for Zach Edey who will be like, yeah, I can't do that anymore? So I don't know. Maybe he won't win. Maybe this will not be a Shohei situation where I'm like, yeah, let me just grab this 5-1 before it goes away.
What sport is the dumbest with the awards dates?
Baseball.
Is it baseball?
It's not even close.
That's what I was just trying to think. Is anybody even close to
the World Series ends, you know, have there been exceptions? Yes. But let's say it ends at the end of October. There's still
December, right?
Not December, but it's like Thanksgiving. They're still giving out like that week. It's like the last award. And you're like, can we not? What makes it comical
and it's during football season, so it feels like forever
right.
at that point.
And what makes it comical is that MLB Network then has, and they do a great job at Major League Baseball Network, MLB Network, but for the awards, they telegraph the pass, right? So, you know, Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds and all those guys will have like a 3-hour special on the MVP award. And then you find out you're like, well, giving away or announcing the MVP award is going to be Bryce Harper's mom. And you're like, oh, I wonder who's going to win this. Gertrude Harper. I don't know if that's her name. Man. I'm just making up a name. But I'm just saying, here she is giving out the award. Like she's going to say Juan Soto. You know, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, it's just a whole, it's ridiculous how they do it in that. What was I going to bring? I don't even remember what I was going to bring up now at this point.
So we're going to go NFL draft and check in on some of those markets.
No, I know that, but can I just bring up something about the basketball? So do you have any futures bets in the NBA right now?
Oh, like a ton. Where would you like to start?
Well,
player awards, win totals, playoff, to win conferences.
Yeah, to win conferences, to win it all. These are from before the season, though.
So, yeah, Hawks before the season, Cavs to make the playoffs before the season, Pelicans.
Yeah, no. Suns, no, yeah. Oh, Suns, and I mean, this is for to win
Suns
in the playoffs.
Suns, I made right before they added Durant.
Plus 750, beautiful.
We got the Thunder ones in there, Magic one in there. If there's I can't remember if there's another graphic or
Thunder
not.
Thunder to make the playoffs, you could get a better price now, right?
Hell yeah, you could. I mean, the beauty of that one is the Thunder just are not getting home for us at all. But thank you for the Dallas Mavericks out there who just continue to lose game after game.
The T-Wolves with that historic upset yesterday get bailed out by the Mavericks loss.
The one that's going to save me in a lot of my futures betting is some of those the alt win totals that we talked about. Those are working out really well. But
those are not listed. We don't have those.
Yeah,
let me rephrase that question. If I were to say to you, all right, Kelly, you must make a futures bet right now, how difficult of a proposition would that be for you? Either east, west, or full?
Pretty tough, because it would be, if you're talking championship or Eastern Conference, you cannot get me off the Bucks, and that's obviously not a very attractive number where it's at right now, plus 310 to win the NBA Finals out east, plus 145. And the biggest problem with that, Gil, is I would just tell you bet it series to series, because I still think the Eastern Conference, if I had to power rank the entire NBA, it's three teams in the East before you even get to a Western Conference team, and then the Cavs might still be in the fifth team. So the road to the NBA Finals through the East is incredibly difficult. Out West, I think you can. I think there's multiple bets you could talk me into. Let's put it that way, right? We keep saying how wide open this thing is. I think the Suns and Nuggets deserve to be the top two teams at the top two teams at the odds board, but Warriors, Grizzlies, Clippers, Lakers, Kings. I guess I'll stop there. All right. But like any of those five teams, I think you can make a pretty good case for
an MVP. Again, we do the heat check on this. We check in every day. Joel Embiid is now -225 to win MVP. Jokic down to +220. This is at DraftKings. Giannis +650. And I'll just say it again. I know we influence bets on this show. We try to do it, you know, judiciously. We try to only do it when we really have conviction about it. And I think we've stayed true to that. So I get that people could have influence on others. But again, with this, I just ask the question out loud. What happened that made everybody just, it was fait accompli that Jokic was going to win this award, and then one day, everybody in groupthink heard a couple people make an argument on ESPN, and they're like, oh yeah, you're right, we'll go Embiid. Like, I just, it's got to be about that three in a row thing that I've talked about from the inception, and none of this makes any sense to me. None of it. How's he -225? We're just giving it to him now? Just because we...
No. This is where it's even stupider. He's -225 now simply because Nikola Jokic hasn't played the past couple games. So, like, a season-long award, we're going to base off of Jokic missing the past two games, this big of an odds shift?
Remember this whole thing shifted when Denver had the audacity to lose four games in a row. Because God forbid you do that.
Right, exactly.
And still remain number
one. Do I think Joel Embiid's going to win this? Yeah, I do. Because I think that there's voters that have pretty much told us that he's going to. Or at least they're not even going to consider Nikola Jokic as they should. So I think Embiid's going to win it, but I don't think you can't bet that at -225. If anything, there's value on Jokic right now, but I wouldn't go bet that market right now.
All right, let's go to NFL draft. Again, last week we came on here, we're like over 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round, +550. I think an NFL team will get nutty after Stroud, Young, Levis, and Richardson, maybe go Hendon Hooker. Whether they do or not, +550 was too big of a bang to not play. Now it's +125.
But that's the point, right, Gil? It's always like, look, yes, it's got to be 4 or 5 for this market to be decided, but this is where odds come into play.
Yes.
When we talked about that, when was that, Friday? Thursday or Friday?
Friday,
whatever it was.
I think, yeah.
+550. That's a bet. Right now, you cannot bet the over now right now.
That's correct.
+125.
That's exactly right. Now it's not a bet.
Right now, it's under or pass for me.
And we talked about total running backs drafted in the first round. The over remains, over 1.5 remains at 3-1. Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. Do you think they both go first round?
The Gibbs one, yeah. Like, if this number keeps, this number keeps getting bigger on the over, I might get involved. I know it sounds weird that two running backs this day and age could go in the first round of the NFL draft, but I think Gibbs is one of those talents that I think some team might fall in love with and try to grab there at the end of that round.
You had thought on tight end?
No, not at all. Just it sounds like there are the two guys pretty locked in that are going the first round, and then I mean everything else that I've seen. Mock draft wise, it's all got the two tight ends, and that's it. But I'm not strong enough for me to go lay $3 on it.
I'm just looking at Daniel Jeremiah, whose mock drafts I trust more than anybody. Yeah. His latest, his 3.0, there are a grand total of we're looking here, one tight end selected in his latest mock draft. Did I get that wrong?
No, that's probably right.
One.
Well, I mean, 1 to 2 is what you'll see in most of them.
He's got two. He does have two. So, okay. I mean, remember, we have 31 picks as well. We don't have 32 picks. Miami lost theirs, tampering. But he has Michael Mayer of Notre Dame going out second. And he has, I guess, the only other one that he would have is Dalton Kincaid from Utah. So the wide receivers, though, becomes interesting, right? Because it is a pass-happy league. And so will you get Smith and Jigba? Will you get Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, three players who everybody thinks going first round? Zay Flowers is now in that mix as well.
Yeah, this has been the biggest market mover. This is where Isaiah pointed this out to me this morning. Zay Flowers has flown up this. I wish I had a ticket on this when they first opened these markets. Zay Flowers was a guy that I really liked. I don't know about to go number one, but again, it's a price play, right, Gil? Like you.
This is for first wide receiver. I was talking about what you had on before, which is the number of over under.
But my point is that in the wide receivers in general, what seems to be going on right now is Jaxon Smith-Njigba has separated himself, maybe to a point where -225 still has value on it. But then you've got Zay Flowers, who has kind of surpassed these other guys in a lot of people's minds. And you've got Quentin Johnston and Jordan Addison seemingly continue to drop in that market. And I don't really know if you got a couple other guys that could be that fifth wide receiver that goes, but I don't know that I'm sold that there is going to be.
Yeah, but I wouldn't bet under either. That's not one I want to touch because I think that this league – they're quarterback crazy, yeah. But they're certainly getting sort of wide receiver crazy.
I did actually make a bet over the weekend in this. I added Christian Gonzalez to be the first cornerback drafted.
Did you?
Yep.
My only two draft bets thus far remain CJ Stroud at +682 and +340 to be the number one pick in the draft, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba to be the first wide receiver drafted. I have him at +350. Those are good bets to start, but I haven't added anything.
Yeah, I've got the whole number one pick situation with all the quarterbacks, and then Christian Gonzalez I added, and that's everything I got so far.
Do you have number two picks, number three pick, number four pick, and then like third quarterback drafted, those kinds of things?
I haven't bet any of them.
Do we have those to look at, though? Let's look at those, and then we'll get into some golf as well. Kelly's thoughts on the Masters. First look, next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget, get everything you need to bet on baseball this season with 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, including advice, data, and strategy for only $9.99. Our experts are also getting ready for golf's first major of the year at Augusta, this year's upcoming Masters Betting Guide. It'll break down every golfer in the field, plus futures, bets, and matchups. Sign up today to get full access to VSiN through the NFL Draft for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. This is a tweet from, it's J-Rod. J-Rod gave us this tweet here. He was just asking about these clay court tournaments. He says, can you explain this surface at Charleston? It's not at all red clay from what I see. It looks odd. Yeah, that's Hartrue.
South Carolina?
Yeah, they're playing a clay court. So every tournament, so there's three on the men's side and two on the ladies' side. Maybe I have that reversed too. Anyway, there's five tournaments going on. They're all on clay. Clay court season has begun. What you're seeing in Charleston, it's the only women's tournament in the country on clay that plays with this surface. But if you'd really like to know, there's a quarry, Kelly.
Nice.
There's a quarry in Virginia that produces this certain kind of clay. And it's called Hartrue. When they put it on tennis courts, they've tailored it to a tennis surface. And it's the greatest thing ever to play on because it's easy on your knees, and it dries really quickly when there's rain. It's so awesome.
So is that the stuff I always see down in Florida?
Correct.
Okay.
That's exactly what you see in Florida.
So it's red. Like reddish clay.
The one that I play on, it's blackish. This is green.
I mean, I guess the color doesn't matter. Like, yeah. Right, you could dye
It's not your Roland Garros red is what he's saying. It's not the old school clay. Yeah. But that's the answer to that question.
Wow, that's I didn't.
Didn't know
J-Rod, you didn't know you were going to step into a Wes Reynolds-like answer about the history of clay on clay courts.
You didn't know you were talking quarries on the show this morning, did you?
I've got follow-up questions. Don't move on. This one quarry provides, like when we talk all clay courts?
Those that are Hartrue from this quarry.
Different types of clay are there clay courts that are played on professionally?
Several.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it's not like 20 of them or anything like that. But there,
so it'd be like different types of greens?
But it's like hard courts. There's not one uniform hard court, right? Like in Indian Wells, it plays super slow, you know, then U.S. Open much, much faster than that. So it's just there's gradations. Is that a word?
I guess I always figured with the hard court stuff that had more to do with like weather conditions affect in the area of whatever country that court was in.
Hmm.
But you're saying the actual construction of the court is what it is.
No, okay. Not necessarily. Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, got to know all that for tennis betting. Real quick before we get to the golf, though, we have a couple more of these NFL draft markets. And again, the NFL draft, we can now officially say this month. And again, I'm very pumped because I, you know a kid who could get drafted in the on the third day. So I'm like super excited for that, just from a personal standpoint. But from a betting standpoint, there has been nothing. For those who are dropping on this show, and again, we'll say this every time, who are like, why are you talking NFL draft? Oh, my God. Because no betting vehicle is as consistently profitable as this, the NFL draft. Could that end one day? Sure. We could have a bad year one day. But so far, so good. So here's DraftKings putting out all kinds of markets. Odds to be the third overall pick exactly. Anthony Richardson of Florida is your favorite at minus 140. So to go third exactly, this is awesome that you can bet on stuff like
so,
this.
So, I mean, so, the explanation here, and really on draft position too for Will Anderson, because I believe Matt Brown said he bet this as well, and, you know, confused you and himself by using the over-under language when it comes to draft positions.
Yes. That's always something you have to navigate. That's right.
Yeah. So his draft position set at 3.5. Now, like, what I would say 80% of mock drafts that I have seen since mock drafts started have Will Anderson going to the Cardinals at 3. Right.
Cardinals currently inhabit the number 3.
Currently have at number 3. The implication here is that they trade out of that 3 spot.
Is Anthony Richardson the favorite in more than just that one slot?
You bet your buddy is. He's also favored to be the 4th overall pick as well. At, I believe minus 150.
So this is where it gets ridiculous. Number 4 spot currently inhabited by the Indianapolis Colts. He's at minus 150 there. Will Levis plus 150. Will Anderson plus 250. Yeah, listen, I'm convinced, and I have been the whole time, that it's C.J. Stroud going first to Carolina. Obviously, I bet that even before Carolina. I think they made the trade to C.J. Stroud. But I think, my whole narrative in my head was, whoever ends up at 1, they're picking C.J. Stroud. Because I don't know. It's sort of like that Jokic thing. It's like, I don't know where people's brains go between the football season and now. So that's why I bet C.J. Stroud. Whether it happens or not, we'll see. But after that, man, if you figure Bryce Young goes second, I am not in the business of figuring out who's going third and fourth at this point, because the trades could abound.
Absolutely. I think I'm talking myself more every day into the idea that there's 4 quarterbacks that go right at the top.
4 in the top 5.
Yeah.
I believe that. That's why I'd like the over 4.5 on quarterbacks bet at plus 550 is like, you got like 25 picks to work with after that, right? 26 picks, yeah, to be exact. You know.
I just think because people or so many of those teams are going to assume Colts go quarterback. So if you get any of these other teams that want one of those guys, especially if there's any surprises in the top 2, right? Then someone's moving up to that Cardinal spot. And they're taking a quarterback there. And then what do the Colts do, right?
It's just if you're betting on things that involve trades that are more nebulous, right? Like, I get the only people that are going to number 1 are taking a quarterback. You know that that trade was going to happen, and it did. Is somebody going to trade up above the Colts, you know, to 3? I don't know that that's a business I want to get into betting on. I guess is what I'm saying.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that happens.
Yeah.
And we see 4 quarterbacks go in a row. I'm not betting on that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, right now the Cardinals hold the 3rd spot. You can't lay minus 140 on 1 quarterback when it could be 1 of 3 or 4 guys, right? But you got to pick 1 quarterback that's going to go in that spot, and you got to plan on that team trading out of that pick. There's too much what if scenarios going on to lay minus 140 on that.
Do we have odds to be the 2nd overall pick? Is Bryce Young like a massive favorite in that one?
He is minus 275.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Minus 275, and then we don't have graphics for some of these. They have the number 5th pick. Will Anderson's your favorite, plus 165. Jalen Carter, plus 250. Tyree Wilson, plus 450. Christian Gonzalez, 9-1.
All right, let's do it this way. They have a market 3rd quarterback drafted. So we'll assume Stroud and Young. Let's not quibble about order for the purposes of this. So Anthony Richardson, a favorite in yet another one, right? Big favorite for 3rd quarterback drafted, which, again, just think about where our headspace was a month ago. We'd be like, what? Anthony Richardson after the combine, where, again, his vertical leap and his broad jump just wowed everybody. minus 275 to be the third quarterback taken. Will Levis plus 220. And then you get the sort of reverse thinking of Stroud and Young being plus 850. Obviously, because people assume they'll go before that. Hendon Hooker, 40 to 1.
Yeah. This sounds right.
Nothing for me there.
I do think that... I think Richardson goes before Levis. I think I've accepted my fate on my Levis bet of it not winning out here. But I think Richardson is kind of the third guy now. I think it is those top two, and then I think it's Anthony Richardson because, look, if I'm drafting a quarterback near the top of the draft, I know if I'm a GM, I'd rather go for the guy with the higher ceiling. And I guess I don't know for sure Anthony Richardson has the higher ceiling. he's got the tools.
I mean, we do this every year, right? Like, it's like somebody's going to fall in love with the quote-unquote, to use your word, tools. Yeah. But, I mean, I will say this, though. I saw Will Levis play a few times where it was the biggest games in the most important moments that he didn't come up big, right? One would even say he came up small. But Anthony Richardson is just hope on hope on hope.
Correct, yes.
Where you're like, okay, if he could just gel all this stuff together, but I don't know that you've seen it on a football field, at least the traditional metrics you look for.
I didn't save this tweet this week, and I saw it, and I forgot who tweeted it out. But just go compare. He was comparing his passing accuracy, Anthony Richardson's, yes, to Justin Fields, both in college and pro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, not even close. Like, Justin Fields still, like, if you think he hasn't been that good of a passer,
he's still way better than
Anthony Richardson. Way better than what Anthony Richardson.
And I feel like Josh Allen has ruined this for everybody. He's kind of poisoned this
everybody. Yes, he might have. Yep.
Because before he came along and before he changed everything about his accuracy from college to pro level, and shout out to, was it Jordan Palmer who coached him up?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I believe so. We love Jordan Palmer. Super nice guy.
Been on the network a few times, yep.
Yep. He kind of bucked what we, you know, Dr. Bob, who was on the show earlier. Dr. Bob's big thing is the only thing you can confidently project above all from college quarterbacking to pro quarterbacking is accuracy. You cannot teach accuracy. Well, Josh Allen bucked that, and now I think it's seeped into everybody's heads like, well, I don't know if Josh Allen could do it. Maybe this guy can do it too, right? So it's like, oh no, here we go again. We're back to square one. Anyway, 27th of April, 27th, 28th, and 29th, but obviously the first round on the 27th. Kelly, we are just over 3 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Let's go!
Let's go! Hey, Vegas, whenever you're ready, just put out those props. You know. Golf and Wes Reynolds, Nick.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. Baseball, three games in. We'll get Sporer and Borchard and everybody on the show this week. Weingarten, talk baseball with us. But, man, has it been a joy to watch with the quicker games. And if you're in a sports book watching multiple games or if you have a setup at home where you're watching multiple games at once, you almost can't keep track. There's pitches happening together at all times, right? Like before, you'd be like, okay, there's a pitch in that game. Let's see. Oh, there's a pitch in that game. No. All over the place. Paul Sporer, our friend Paul Sporer at Sporer. First four-day stolen base totals in 2022, 29. This year, 70 with 14 caught stealing it each season. So that's the difference.
It's wild.
It's awesome. By the way, but I do think this is Joe Sheehan just put out an interesting tweet. By the way, Tyler Kepner, who is a baseball columnist, said games are faster. 2 hours, 41-minute average thus far. Steals are up. As Sporer just pointed out, 87.5% success rate. More batted balls are turning into hits. A 310 BABIP. Oh, my goodness. For those of us who are baseball nerds, batting average on balls in play used to always have an average tried and true 299, 298, somewhere there every year. And then in this recent era of baseball, went all the way down to 290, 289, which, again, doesn't sound like much, but it's cataclysmic. Well, now it's all the way reversed through what it used to be to 3-10, at least in three games anyway. But that's awesome in that respect. But Joe Sheehan points out, he goes, another look. Because remember, the big thing that baseball wanted to get out was the three-outcome sport. Homer, strikeouts, walks. We got to get balls in play. Got to get stolen bases. And they've succeeded. But Joe Sheehan points out the strikeout rate, 24.2%, and the three true outcome rate, 36.3%, would be the highest in history. And the walk rate of 9.6%, the highest since the 1950s. So anyway, they haven't really eradicated that, but it's been a joy to watch.
Oh, it's awesome. Do you know, the faster game's incredible.
Do you know one person, who's been like, you know what, I don't like this?
No. Not at all.
Bryce Harper was the Phillies played the Rangers, by the way, my Rangers season win total over off to a nice start at 3-0. The only season win total bet I made. But they were doing the Rangers-Phillies game on Sunday Night Baseball last night. Carl Ravitch and crew, they had Bryce Harper in one of those in-game, those awkward in-game interviews. And Bryce Harper in the middle took a shot at what we think is the pitch clock. He's like, yeah, you know, a player's going to take the game back at some point. And then he just continued. And Carl Ravitch, to his credit, went back to it. He's like, wait, what did you just say about the players? And Bryce Harper was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What did I say? He's just totally denying it.
Just own it.
So he may be against it, but we'll see.
I know we got Wes here. How about this for a practice round this morning at Augusta National? Tiger Woods playing with, you would never be able to guess this, playing with Fred Couples. Okay, maybe.
Sure.
And then Tom Kim and Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, there's a foursome.
There's a foursome.
Didn't Bryson DeChambeau just say Tiger hadn't talked to him since he went to live? Well, I guess that's over.
He claimed that he texted him on his birthday and never heard back from him. Because I'm sure Tiger Woods doesn't get a lot of text messages on his birthday.
Oh, maybe. Probably talk today, unless Tiger gave him a cold shoulder for 18 holes.
Right, I'm going to guess they talked.
So what have you bet so far? Because Wes is standing by. We'll get to Wes's pace. What have you bet so far?
I have bet outrights, and that is it. I will be adding, obviously, a lot over the next couple days. Outrights for me, Max Homa, 32-1. That one I bet last week. All these others I've kind of bet over the past few months. So Corey Connors, 85-1. Jason Day, 85-1. And Brooks Koepka, 99-1.
I am thrilled that you have a Max Homa bet because I've only bet two. Scottie Scheffler, and I did not get a great price on Scottie Scheffler. I got him at bet plus 845. So just over almost 8.5-1. And I do have Max Homa at 35+1.
That's an awesome
35.50-1. Max Homa going for the matzo ball dinner the year after he wins the tournament. That's what we're all about here. Wes Reynolds joins us. By the way, we should point out long shots. Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin going to have their special Masters podcast this week. You and Wes are both going to be on the Beating the Book Masters podcast as well tomorrow, so it's full Masters. Wes, how are you, man?
We got more than a podcast live show in here tomorrow.
Live show, yes. Yeah. Wes, it's your time of year, man. How you doing?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
Doing well. Let's just start there. How many outrights do you have in pocket currently?
Currently four. A couple I bet about 2 weeks ago during the Dell match play, and that was Cameron Young, 45-1, Jason Day at 40-1. Those prices have since obviously been cut because those guys played very well during the match play. And then I also have Tony Finau just under 30-1. Colin Morikawa drifted up at Circa Sports here in Las Vegas to 33-1. And basically that's what I think that I am pursuing in terms of, you know, outright skill. When prices drift up to a certain number, especially with the top end of the leaderboard, that first page that you have there on the graphic, when I get some magic numbers on certain guys, then I'm interested. Like when I see Justin Thomas, if he gets up to like 25-1 or better, then I'm in on him. Because I think, you know, we all want to hit kind of that off the grid guy, a longer shot the week before and whatnot. But if you really look, the last 10 years, nobody longer than 60-1 has won here at Augusta. The average odds the last 10 years, like 27-1. So if you're playing some of those longer odd guys that, you know, there's always one or two that show up on the leaderboard come Master Sunday, you probably, I think, want to attack them with like placement markets, top 10, top 20 and whatnot, because it's class players that have been tending to win here over the years.
Yeah, I have a couple follow-ups. One is, and we should probably start with the macro for those who are new to betting the Masters, if there are any folks out there who are, and we got to assume there is, it's a smallish field, and then the field is made even smaller virtually by the fact that there's a lot of sort of dead money players out there, right? Past champions and the like. So you are dealing with about as small of a field realistically as you ever will on the course that's the most predictive of all, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, these guys that you mentioned, the Larry Mizes and the VJ Singhs and the Jose Maria Lothables, look, you're not betting on those guys. And then you've also got guys that maybe kind of like middle tier PGA Tour players, or even for that matter on the LIV Tour right now, that win, you know, a smaller tournament, that might win like the Sanderson Farms Championship in the fall series, that are going to be 250-1 that probably aren't going to win this thing. So like you said, it is the most predictive course. And that means guys that play well here tend to play well here. Now, eventually, you know, guys, maybe the first couple times, top 20, top 30, whatever, and then somebody can come out of nowhere and be in contention. So, yeah, you want to go with, I think, premium players in terms of your outright card. And plus the fact that this market has been up at a lot of shops in terms of just pure outrights since, like, November. So that's why you'll get, you know, really good players that will go off at, like, 25-1. Somebody might have scooped up, you know, around Christmas time at 80-1. So that's going to happen. So when you're reading some of the content out there, you know, they use the term, I think it's called anti-post, where you got a much better number that obviously is not going to be in the market come tournament week.
Mm-hmm. What about LIV? You brought up LIV. Kelly and I were batting this around earlier. They don't play as much. You don't have as much recent form numbers to really lean on. Where do you generally stand on LIV golfers, or do you stand generally any widespread sort of blanket opinion on LIV golfers?
Yeah, and I don't think you can have a blanket opinion necessarily. Like, I'm not looking to fade all of these guys. Obviously, there are certain players that you could just see based in the Orlando LIV event that they had this weekend at Orange National Club. Like, I'm not looking to back Sergio Garcia. I'm not looking to back Phil Mickelson or any of those guys. But there are some guys that are playing well, like Cameron Smith at 20-1's a little small for me because he's been battling a wrist issues. But if I got 30-1, then I would be interested. Same with Dustin Johnson. I've seen him in the high 20s, low 30s. If I got him at 40, I would be interested. But, you know, I think if you're betting Brooks Koepka, and I think that that's the most perfect example, if you're betting that guy at 35-1 right now, it's not worth it because you could have had him at 75. And the fact that Brooks Koepka, look, he's beating 48-man fields. He's not beating, you know, Scottie Scheffler and Jon Rahm and Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay, et cetera, every single week on the PGA Tour. So it's all about, this is where it's a lot more speculative, where you got to play certain numbers because it's not like the other three majors where it's like, okay, we only have 4 weeks in between majors, so you're not going to get as much movement on the odds board. So I think you just got to be selective with the LIV guys. I think maybe the way to play them more along the lines are placement markets.
All right. And we'll get into those as the week progresses, as those markets and many more sort of proliferate.
Just to follow up on that real quick. Yeah. I completely agree with everything Wes just said real quickly. I don't think you can blanket statement anything with the LIV golfers. I will say, if Cameron Smith continues to drift, yeah, like if he gets into the 30s, yes, he might be a bet for
me. I got something to say about the Tony Finau pick as well on the other side. We'll get Wes's thoughts on tonight's college basketball championship. Find out if he bet the women's college semis and final as well. Other side, numbers.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, pardon me, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. If you're planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Did I read the right promo there, Kelly? No?
Yes? I think so.
You think so? Did I? I don't know. Whenever there's laughing behind the glass, my
Oh, no, yeah, you know, you were fine. It's just crew stuff. Just crew stuff. Isaiah is our director. He really does not like it when I start conversations during the break here and then end them with Kevin while you're doing the live read.
That's all right. I'm just doing a show over here.
Because, you know, I always, it's like a halfway story. He hears the back end of a story. He's like, what is it? What are you talking about?
We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Jesse Welch, Gil, you are dead on with the Wooden Award. This has been absolutely mind-numbing trying to nail down this announcement date. I totally agree. I'm not imagining this. Like, it's the third time. I'm like, okay, now it's April 7th now? Okay. Sure. The Truth, 1980. Just looked up that Magic Bulls game from 91-92 with the big upset. The biggest in NBA history that you were talking about. Magic outscored the Bulls by 19 in the fourth to win. Bison Dele with 19 points. Now that's a name. That's a blast from the past. The late Brian Williams, who later changed his name to Bison Dele. Jeff Staples. I have my money on Gertrude Stroud walking out to announce the first pick. I love how close people pay attention. I appreciate all the tweets and everything. Steve Fezzik just chimed in. He goes, the markets love the Texas Rangers. Season win number is already up from 80.5 to 82.5. So backing up my preseason thought on the Rangers there. I would Ron Burgundy through all of these, and I appreciate all of them, but I want to get to Wes here. And Wes, I just want to throw up. Well, first of all, Wes brought up as one of his outrights Tony Finau. And whenever someone brings up Tony Finau, and I'll bring Wes Reynolds in there, and Kelly, you can chime in as well, I always hear in my head this groan from people listening, right? Like, I imagine a groan. But Tony Finau has been he's finished three top tens now in the Masters in his history, one of which was a top five. And when Joe Pita did his 2019 Masters Tour Guide, where he, by the way, Augusta data is not public domain. Joe had to do a whole sort of deep dive to get him. Tony Finau was the guy who came up the biggest. So I just want to throw that out there for anybody who might have groaned, like I'm imagining groans now from the audience, when Tony Finau's name came up. So just, Wes, just a, I don't know if you remember that Joe Pita Tour Guide point about him, but there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I understand the groan because obviously people are so used to Tony Finau not winning. But if you look over the past year, he has been. And he's been close a lot of times in majors. He's got a top five, by the way, in all four majors. 10 top tens in the 26 majors he's played. So that's not a bad record, even though there's not a win on that ledger. However, when you look, the last time that he played a major, of course, was at the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Since then, and now everywhere in between to Masters Week this week, he's won three times on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. So now he's got, because Kelly and Matt Brown and I on Long Shots talk often about win equity. He's got win equity now.
Yep.
And he's got a lot more confidence. He's third in approach this season. He's fifth overall tee to green. The whole thing with Tony Finau, and really with a lot of players in this field, they excel in one or two things, but they just got to put it together in other areas. So I know the approach game is going to be good just based on what he's been doing this year. Can he put it together on the greens? And I think he can.
All right, real quick, let's do some did this move Wes and Reynolds' needle before we get to your college championship thoughts tonight. I know you're a wrestling guy. WWE and the company that runs the UFC will combine to create a $21.4 billion sports entertainment company. New publicly traded company will be formed that houses the UFC and WWE brands with Endeavor Group Holdings, Inc., taking a 51% controlling interest in the new company. Existing WWE shareholders will hold a 49% stake. Does that move Wes Reynolds' needle?
It does. I think it's a pretty seismic move, really, for the business. And you mentioned Endeavor, of course, run by super agent in Hollywood, yes. Ari Emanuel. If you ever watch the show Entourage, the Jeremy Piven character, of course, was based on Ari Emanuel. And now he has bought, and they are essentially, it's not, I think, a total merger, but it kind of is. And WWE, look, they have been looking to sell. We've heard that they were maybe going to look at NBC Universal or, you know, the public investment fund over in Saudi Arabia. But I think the Endeavor people didn't necessarily want to do business with those guys, even though WWE does do two shows in Saudi Arabia that paid them about $50 million a show every year from the Saudi government. So, look, this is a big deal. In terms of the structuring with the company, former super agent Nick Khan is still going to run the business operations for WWE, dealing with the sponsors, dealing with, you know, the sponsors, the corporate partners, the television partners, et cetera, et cetera. Vince McMahon is going to be back kind of overseeing creative, but apparently not in the weeds, where he's doing like every little thing and he's producing in the headset all the time and just basically running the show. Triple H, his son-in-law, former wrestler in the company, Paul Levesque, is going to be kind of the day-to-day guy. And I think he and Nick Khan are kind of going to be in like the Dana White role that you see in the UFC, because as you mentioned, now Endeavor owns UFC. So they're going to be the face, like in the media, that do all the interviews and do all the public statements. So, you know, it is a different change. And I mean, just to form this mega company, like you're saying, that, you know, $21 billion, you know, publicly traded company, it's going to be interesting now. It's going to be interesting on the WWE side. Endeavor has been known to make cuts and be pretty relentless in making cuts within the company. So there's a lot of talent right now in WWE, and people also at the executive level that are probably a little bit uneasy this morning.
I think from Gil, when you asked for the people out there kind of groaning over the Tony Finau mention, I first learned about this news. Matt Brown texted me about it yesterday, I think it was. Texted me about this merger. And the first thought that came to my mind, and I know his too, is how many times now are we going to watch UFC matches, though, and someone complains about something being scripted because they're working with the WWE now?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm a little bit concerned about.
Left themselves open to that a little bit. In the same way we were talking earlier about the whole NBA, PA,
yep,
you know, deal. Okay, I started the show by giving a little tribute to women's college hoops. Wes, did you bet either the championship game yesterday or the semis?
I did. I had the one semi. I ended up pushing on the over between Iowa and South Carolina, which did 5.5 million, biggest rating in women's basketball history. Great game. Obviously, the number one team, 36-0. They get upset by Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And some of the money, by the way, came in on Iowa. I think it was a lot of casual money because people were tuned in to watch her. I think she was the draw. And she was also the draw yesterday. I ended up being on LSU +3.5, just kind of going against the recency bias. And the disappointing thing about the game, even though LSU, I think, was clearly the better team of the two yesterday, was the officiating.
Yeah.
The officiating was really disappointing. It's like, you got to read the room. You got to understand that you have more eyeballs on your sport than you have ever had before, you know, largely due to Caitlin Clark. And I think the officials really inserted themselves in the game. And of course, much was made about the controversy, the John Cena, you can't see me gesture by both Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. That was from the week before. And hey, you know, women athletes talk trash too. And I think that we have to realize that it's not just the guys. And, you know, this is competitive as hell. This is the national championship, the biggest TV audience that they've ever had. So yeah. I thought a lot was made a big deal about that in the media that really shouldn't have been. But otherwise, you know, I think women's basketball, putting the referees aside, made a really good showing this week.
I did too. I thought it was fabulous. You have a minute. What is your play on tonight's game if you're landing on it now?
Yeah, it's a middle, basically. I took when it popped 8 on Saturday night. I took San Diego State, just thinking that they can reduce the possessions and keep it close, kind of like they did against Alabama, which they eventually won in the regional semifinal. Even though I've been all over UConn since the start of the tournament, I think that they're going to cut the nets down. But I think 8 was a little bit of an overreaction based on what we saw on Saturday.
Wes, I appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the podcast side about the Masters, a tradition unlike any other, man. Look forward to it.
You bet, Gil. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds, the glue that holds the whole operation together. Wes Reynolds 1, that's the number one on Twitter. And, of course, Wes, the co-host of VSiN Tonight, which he does with Matt Humans each and every night right here at the
Victor Wembanyama Unicorn, the three misses and put back on his own.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't see that one. I saw the one where he had the handle. Goodness. You know, I think he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I just came up with this. I think he should be the first pick in the draft. That's my thought on that. The Lombardi Line is next with San Diego State Stormy Bonnetoni. I think she's in the chair. It's a numbers game at VSiN. Enjoy Lombardi Line next.